Hello, hello, hello to all of the friends out there hanging out, being part of the Stay Rad crew. This is Casey Kasem right here. I'm bringing you a brand new episode of my podcast, Get Real with Casey Kasem. It's a podcast that goes behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through interviews with fantasy football analysts, writers, podcasters, YouTubers, content creators. Gosh, we could go on and on and on. And in this episode, I sat down with Kevin Tompkins. You guys might know him from the Lightning Round podcast. You probably know him from Fighting Chance Fantasy, maybe Ball Blast, maybe Fantasy Pros, and there's so much more as well. We talked about the zero RB strategy, growing your audience in the podcasting world, his favorite Packers of all time, how he edits, the appeal of best ball, and so much more. And you can find Kevin on Twitter at KevinTompkinsII. Shout out to the original Kevin Tompkins, who raised an absolute badass of a son. That is dope, and we talk about Kevin's dad in this podcast as well. So super rad. You can find me on Twitter as well at TheCaseyKasem, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at GetReal_pod. You can also find my writing with the Fantasy Footballers at TheFantasyFootballers.com. I am now the social media manager for Dynasty Trade Calculator as well. You can find DTC on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades. This podcast is also a proud member of the DAP Network. Yo, you're pretty awesome, right? Yes, of course you're pretty awesome. We already knew that. Duh. Well, I'm asking you to be even more awesomer if you can't even be more office. Blah, see? I can't even talk. You're making me get like this. You're so dope. I cannot even talk. I'm tripping over my own words. What I was saying is your awesomeness needs to go check out patreon.com/Casey Kasem. That's KaceyKasem. Why? Well, it helps grow the show. Okay, so the Patreon is still in its beginning phases, and that's okay. We're trying to grow the show. We're trying to make it bigger. I want to be able to post videos and how-tos and question and answer sessions with actual people in an actual live environment. I think that would be dope as well. But the only way I can do all of this stuff is if I get the Patreon a little bit more bumped up. So if you can afford a few dollars a month to help grow the show, that would be super, super, super rad. Again, it's only a few dollars a month. I'm going to start putting out some premium content that you're not going to want to miss out on. So if you go over there to patreon.com/Casey Kasem, that's KaceyKasem, just a few dollars a month, and that would help grow the show so awesomely. I know there are a lot of awesome content providers out there, and I'm not going to try to compete with those guys and those gals. What I'm trying to do right here is just grow the show. And if that means you going on and reviewing this podcast and rating this podcast, I mean, that's all I can ask for. So if you like this podcast, you're getting a lot of information, and you just want to help support the show, let's say you go over to Apple and you're like, hey, I want to leave an awesome review for this podcast. Go ahead and do that. You guys are super dope. You've been here since the beginning, and I'm so happy about that. But if you have a second to go over there and just leave a review, leave a rating, I would be so appreciative. So thank you again for that. All right, with all of that out of the way, I just wanted to say, here is my conversation, and it's a super awesome one that you're going to want to stick around for the entire time. Here's my conversation with Kevin Tompkins. Yeah, that's exactly, cheers. Whoops, cheers. There we cheers. Go. That's exactly how the show is supposed to start. So very, very glad you could join me with a cheers, Kevin. And I'm really happy that you can be here. And I'm sure everybody listening right now is excited to get to know you. We'll jump right in, you know, just because this is a show getting to know behind the analyst, behind the guy we see on Twitter, the guy that we, you know, that's reasonable. So tell me, let's start at the beginning of life. No, let's start when you were young. Did you play sports? Were you interested in sports? How was that situation?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me and reaching out. You know, this is awesome. I've listened, you know, to your stuff. And, you know, we go way back on Twitter, certainly. You know, you were probably the first person I ever followed in the fantasy community. When you were writing stuff, you know, just with Fighting Chance, and you were the reason why I saw Ryan Hallam, you know, wanting to get more people into Fighting Chance. So I'll just preface everything with that. And you were the bridge to where I am right now, Casey. As far as sports, I played baseball. I was huge baseball because my dad played softball. My dad played baseball. I pretty much emulated him growing up. So diehard Yankee fan, grew up in Syracuse, New York, played Little League, did all that, played Babe Ruth. I played 1 year of football in like seventh, eighth grade, like the midget or junior midget or whatever it is. But yeah, so I was huge into baseball, huge into Yankees. I was always a Packer fan. Got that from my dad. And then, you know, never really, you know, as far as football and wanting to do anything with it, that never crossed my mind until maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
And how did you exactly find out about fantasy football in general? Because it's not something that we just learn. It's, you know, it's brought to us. So how did you find out about that?
So when I was growing up, you know, in Syracuse, we didn't have a lot of money, but I would literally go to the computer lab at my library to do some homework and stuff like that. This was like 1996, 1997, you know, where, you know, we didn't have, not everybody had a computer, not everybody had AOL. So kind of doing that and never really thinking about anything. And then like 2000 hit, and it was probably July or August. And I went across Yahoo and saw they had fantasy football. I'm like, oh, what is this? And just did a random, you know, one of those random Yahoo leagues. And remember drafting, the only person I remember drafting on that team, because he was the reason why I did so well, was Steven Davis for the then Washington Redskins. And he was a big sleeper that year. It came out of nowhere. So I'm like, this is cool. I'm going to chase this. So ever since the year 2000, I've been, you know, in at least one league.
And how many leagues are you in now?
Too many to count. I've just went through my exposure list, and most of them are best ball. I'm doing a lot of like underdog and FFPC and stuff like that. So at last count, I am at 107. But as far as managed leagues, I can't handle a lot of those. I'm doing, you know, obviously Scott Fish and like Razz Bowl and stuff like that. But I'm in a couple, you know, random leagues, and then one home league. So as far as managed leagues, it's like 15 or 16. But that's starting to wear on me a little bit, because I'm hating Tuesday night going into waivers when I have to do that for however many teams, and then Sunday or Saturday night I have to do my lineups, and then Sunday morning I have to check them again. So it's just, that's why I've gravitated toward best ball. It's really the best way to go, as far as if you want to do a lot of teams, do it that way so you don't have to worry about it later.
So having so much on your plate, not really, because I mean, you do obviously have all of those leagues, but the best ball aspect is very interesting to me, having that all on your plate with the best ball. What is the appeal of best ball for people that don't play best ball but are like interested in it?
The best kind of avenue to getting into best ball would be if, you know, if you're the type of person that would go on like Yahoo and want to do mock drafts, or go on like Fantasy Football Calculator and want to do mock drafts, and hey, I want to set myself up for a league. Do it with live people. Do it with a little bit of skin in the game. You can go on like Underdog for $3 or DraftKings or whatever the case may be, and do that as kind of a, and you're getting, you know, current ADP on stuff like that. So that is like the perfect way to get into best ball, and then you can kind of ramp up from there. But that is a good entryway into best ball, as using that as a substitution for mock drafts. Like, honestly, it's not fun going into a fantasy football calculator draft and seeing, you know, 101 Tim Tebow, 102 Johnny Manziel, and then they're auto picking every, that's not fun.
No,
like, it's fun as a joke when you're like, you know, look what I just did. But yeah, that's your entryway to me.
Okay, so now talking about having a lot on your plate, because we're talking about how you're not in a lot of managed leagues just because, you know, of time and everything else. But you do a lot in the fantasy football world, as, you know, putting out content. So how did that get started? I know you briefly touched on it at the beginning, but just kind of explain to everybody how that went down.
Yeah, so it was just a blind DM slide into Ryan Hallam's Twitter account. And I was like, hey, I'm interested in doing some fantasy football content, because at that time, it was just before, I believe, 2019. I want to say it was maybe November, December of 2018, where I slid his DMs, but I was also doing a lot of work for this site called Pack to the Future, which is a Green Bay Packers website, actually doing fantasy content for them, but a lot of Packers specific stuff. And that is what I originally wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Was I as a Packer fan, I'm very, you know, knowledgeable and intimate about the, you know, everything going on with the team. So I'm like, that's a good avenue. I've always loved to write, even going back to high school. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to, it's a good creative outlet as far as, you know, I consider myself, you know, to be, you know, pretty creative in me. I can't draw to save my life. I cannot, will not. I played music in high school. I played, you know, I still play a little bit now when I can, but you know, that is a creative outlet where I can let my personality come out to other people. So I really wanted to do a lot of Packers work, and you know, just avenues weren't, you know, even no matter what I would do, it just, it seems like there's roadblocks wherever I could. So, you know, being able to take a look into the fantasy football space and to see what was out there, I wanted to be a part of it. So actually, it was a, you know, seeing your stuff on Fighting Chance Fantasy, and then, you know, seeing Ryan Hallam, who I started to follow, Steve Rappin, same thing. So I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, you know, if you need anybody to write some content, I'm, you know, happy to give you some samples, happy to, you know, do whatever I can to, you know, be a contributor, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, we talked, everything was cool. And then I just got in a random mock draft with, like, with, I believe you were in it too, Ryan, Steve Rappin, Dwayne McFarland, Brian Drake. I believe Gary Hatta was the one of his first things on Fighting Chance Fantasy was that mock draft that they had on the, at the time, the Tuesday Night Hustle, with Brian and Dwayne. So yeah, that was kind of the, and then getting some compliments for the draft I had, which was just kind of mind blowing. Like who the hell is this guy? But you know, he's drafting like, you know, awesome dude. So, you know, it's really cool to kind of get that early validation, and really just validation gets you going and wants you to, you feel like you want to run through a wall, you know, with, when I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do everything I can, you know, because I've got this little bit of this spark to do all sorts of content and whatever you can do to help out.
And yeah, it happened with a tweet for me too, to become a writer with Fighting Chance Fantasy. You know, Ryan reached out to me because I hadn't done any of the stuff in the space with writing, podcasting, anything. And he was like, hey, if you ever want to, I'm available to, you know, take you under my wing. Come on. Yeah. So I was like, yeah. So that's how that works out. So yeah, Twitter's been very instrumental. How did you find out about fantasy football Twitter? Because it's a crazy explosion of awesomeness.
Yeah, I mean, really is just, you know, because being on Twitter and, you know, being part of like that, you know, Packers Twitter and all this other stuff. And it just, it bleeds over, you know, in certain segments. So, you know, following, you know, certain people, you know, just like Eli Berkovitz and, you know, guys at Ilya Torsky, who, you know, did a lot of stuff for Number Fire, Packers fan. We talk a lot, you know. Eli Berkovitz is actually going to work for NFL Network now, does a Packers pod on Gaon, Wisconsin right now. So just a lot of that bleed over, and then starting to follow more accounts, and, you know, and then kind of those two avenues merged. And then, you know, it ended up being where I'm just going to dive into the fantasy football space, see what I can do. Really, you know, it's a lot easier now to kind of dive into that fantasy football space, I believe, just because there's so many sites, so many, you know, content creators coming up. It's really a great space when it gets down to it. A lot of people just see the negative in the fantasy football community, but there is so much positive, and you can see just great people starting, you know, it's life changing. Like, you look at a guy like Dwayne McFarland, who started at Fighting Chance Fantasy, and, you know, he had a job as, I believe he worked in healthcare analytics. He's now full time at PFF. So, you know, it's just, the avenues here are amazing. You know, you're doing stuff with the fantasy footballers, you know, it's Fighting Chance Fantasy is a big stepping stool, and, you know, still with them, doing a lot of editing for them, not really so much on the content side, but I want to be able to get these people that are in Fighting Chance right now that kind of stepping stone to be the next Casey Kasem, to be the next Dwayne McFarlane, to be the next Brian Drake, guys like that, girls like that. So it's really a great avenue. And, you know, like I said, it gets a lot of bad rap because of the negativity that goes on in the fantasy football space. But there is no better time if you're on the fence about creating fantasy football content. Now the season is just starting. You have maybe a little bit of a limited window now, but you can start anytime.
Right on. And you know, there is just so much that Fighting Chance Fantasy has done, like you said, for all of us. And that's kind of what I wanted this podcast to be, was kind of like a how-to guide for people who want to get started, because, you know, it is kind of hard when you first start. What do I do? How is this, you know, going to go? So yeah. When you first started out, what were your emotions like? What were your feelings and what was going through your head?
I hope I don't screw this up. Basically, you know, you get inside your head. That's the normal reaction. If you're not feeling that, I don't think you're normal, honestly. I mean, the first thing I ever did for Fighting Chance Fantasy, I believe, was write an early top 50 rankings, and it was on some spreadsheet, and it just looked so janky, and I'm like thinking this is the greatest thing in the world. And I actually just found it in a Google Doc not too long ago, and I'm like, what the hell is that? So, you know, it's very normal to get in your head, and you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to come out with the greatest fantasy football article of all time the first time they type words onto a screen. That's not going to happen. It's not realistic. You should never have that kind of mindset. But the thing that you can do is reach out to people, even if you think that, you know, you have, why would they ever look at what I have no problem reaching out to guys like Nando DeFino, who, or somebody like that, that I've looked up to in the fantasy space, even before I even did any content, you know, cause he used to be, you know, with CBS and Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, guys like that, you know, that I've been reading for years upon years. You know, we have an email chain going back and forth where, you know, he's a great resource. And then just a lot of others in like group chats, you know, stuff like that, where you can bounce ideas off of people. So if you just get involved in the conversation, that's huge, because that gets you kind of in the door. That can get you those contacts and get you that kind of, maybe get some recommendations doing a mock draft or contributing to an article. And then, you know, people see everything, like even the bad, even the good. You think you tweet something and nobody saw it, lots of people see it. So yeah, that's some advice too, is that you don't have to put everything out there, but just know that everybody is going to see it at some point. So yeah.
True facts, and there's no edit button, guys. So
like, there's not yet. How long have we been asking for that? You know, I know, 4 or 5 like, years now.
There's like two sides of the thing where people are like, yeah, you know, and then some people are like, oh, but they won't be accountable if they change, you know, blah, blah, blah. Facebook has it. Old people don't know how to use the edit button on Facebook. You always see underneath, I'm sorry, my dad, no offense, dad, but there's an edit button. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast, so I don't burn any bridges with any more family members. And I want to know, what is your favorite thing to write about? Like, what topic is your like bread and butter, great, like smile, makes me so happy?
Honestly, I've always loved wide receivers, and you know, that's been kind of my thing, and you know, that's low-hanging fruit for people that kind of know me as a zero RB guy. But I wanted to be a wide receiver when I was playing that year of football. I wore 84 for Sterling Sharp in my lone year for the Clay Panthers. Just writing about wide receivers and being able to just watch, you know, I'm not a tape grinder, I'm not a film grinder, but you know, just appreciating, you know, just the skill that goes into, you know, running routes and footwork and separation and just, you know, split end flanker, you know, slot, all these things, just writing about wide receivers and being able to kind of separate and use what I know to make my own kind of, and put that out for people. Because, you know, obviously I'm drafting all these wide receivers. There's not a lot I don't have, but I did go back and see, I have 0 shares of Kenny Galladay. So that's probably going to stay that way. But yeah, like just wide receivers, tight ends, you know, kind of the same thing. There's honestly nothing that I don't like to write about. Like I will write about, I liked writing like book reports back in the day. I'm that guy and I don't even care. I'll put it out there. If I get canceled for wanting to write book reports, who cares? But you know, I was always that creative writing, you know, you give me some topic and I will put my own personality and put my own spin on it just because I love to write. I love to, you know, being able to invoke emotion out of people with words that I put on a screen or a page.
So you're not one of those people that tries to get like right to the word count when they tell you in school, like your report has to be between, you're like, I'm going above and beyond. I'm going over the amount of words.
I'm just typing till I stop typing. If you know, thank the Lord there's Grammarly right now, yes. You know, in this day and age with, you know, it was what, 1998? We didn't have no Grammarly. Like, no. Come on. We're lucky to get words on a screen, let alone, you know. I think people were still using typewriters. I know my grandma had one and tried to get me to use it one time, and I said that was not happening. But, yeah, like, it's just there's so many tools out there that make it so easy to put out quality content, and Grammarly is one of them. Not sponsored, by the way. Maybe after today.
Grammarly, no offense to anybody else out there, but Grammarly would probably be the most awesome sponsor because I use it so much. Like it's my go-to, like I have to have Grammarly in my life or life would be a lot harder. So you're right.
I will shout that off the rooftops, you know, to anybody who wants to listen. I mean, it might get one person, he might be drunk, but oh well.
You know, it is what it is, but I think that like, it's so cool, all the tools that we have out there at our disposal that we can use in our writing, our podcasting, whatever. You know, there's just so many like little tips and tricks too.
StreamYard.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Is there anything else that you are like a big fan of when you're putting out content to use like as a tool?
Like StreamYard is is a game changer. Like I remember going on the Pod-a-thon that we were on, was it 2 years ago with, you know, we were with Hallam.
Were
you on there? Yeah. And we were using what, Google Hangouts or Skype or one of those. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, and that was a deterrent for me wanting to do a podcast was, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what the learning curve of wanting to do this is. I know there's like this OBS like StreamYard, but I'll admit that I'm a boomer when it comes to computers. Like I am bad, very bad. I mean, I'm 37 years old and I feel like I should know, you know, at least a little bit of something. I'm lucky if I can get on Google Chrome. Like to pull up everything here. I got a list of bookmarks across the top just because I'm not going to be able to find anything if I don't do that. So I'm a total boomer, but if I can do StreamYard, anybody can do it. Like that is an absolute game changer for content creators, no matter what, outside of fantasy football, you know, whatever you want to create content for. That's great. Just, you know, Audacity for like audio stuff like that, you know, And some stuff just has such a learning curve, like Adobe and stuff like that. So I don't try to do a lot with stuff like that because that's way out of my wheelhouse. And that's for people that are much smarter than me to figure out. But the tools are all there, you know, and it just really has to do with how much time do you want to put in to learning all this stuff. But with StreamYard, with Audacity, with, you know, a lot of this stuff, you really don't need to learn a lot to be able to use it. It's really just point click and, you know, hook up a mic, hook up a webcam, or, you know, if you have your webcam on your laptop or whatever the case may be. And it's just so easy to get started. That's why I'm saying if you want to create content in 2021 for fantasy football, like you have everything at your disposal. It's not super expensive to do that. And you know, yeah, great graphics, great, all this stuff. It looks great. And, you know, there's definitely value in that. But people are going to watch you based on, you know, I found personality, you know, and just down to earth and just being humble, because people don't want to hear how, you know, perfect you are. You know, everybody has faults. And that is something that I've also taken with me, you know, on like my Twitter. I have no problem posting how I feel. And that's definitely something that's, you know, I feel like that's a little bit rare where, you know, I'm a human being, and I want people to know that I'm a human being and not just a content robot. So, yeah.
With StreamYard also, like, I don't know who was the person who first used it for their podcast in the fantasy football world, but that's how I found out about it. Because Hangouts was the thing, right? And then Hangouts was like no more with, you know, YouTube and everything. So Everybody had to scramble. And I really don't like recording on Skype personally either. Like, that's...
Nope.
Weird. And
it's so weird.
And I couldn't even tell you how to do it. I know people do, and they're always talking about the audio they had to pull off and do all this stuff. And I'm like, it's so much easier. We just press a button, and not knocking anybody's, like, if it works, you know. But there are so many different ways to do things. How did you find out how to podcast, basically? Like, how was that process?
That was a lot of trial and error, actually, because before me and Gary hooked up for, at the time, Fighting Chance Live, you know, we did that podcast last season. Before that, I had one myself that I was doing. It was going to be called the Fantasy Escape Pod. And so I had graphics done. I had this, all this stuff. And I was just running this off my laptop with a bougie microphone, and I have one episode that never saw the light of day. It was a mock draft with Kate and Michelle Majouk, that the sound was just so bad, and I felt so almost embarrassed, just because I don't want to put that out and have people listen to that and feel, you know, like, what is going on? I'm never listening to this again. So that is something where my personal kind of emotions kind of got in the way of that for about an entire year. Cause that was at that time, this was April of 2019. This is a few months before I moved to North Dakota, where I am now. So I'm by myself in an apartment. Like, I already know I'm moving to North Dakota, and I'm just like, you know what? I should probably kind of wait to do this. And we ended up doing a live stream, and you were on the first episode of that. I want to say it was July or sometime. But yeah, so that kind of got our feet wet, and Gary's, you know, was kind of hesitant, and that's one reason why we kind of fit very well together, was because we have the same kind of emotions and feelings on podcasting. And what if they don't like us? Are we doing, is what we're doing, is this what we're supposed to be doing? So that's a big hurdle to get over, especially when you're putting not just yourself and your voice on, you know, out there for everybody to consume, but your face as well. Cause I may kind of seem extroverted, but I'm very content being by myself. I'm an only child. So, that's just how I do it. And, you know, my girlfriend's gotten me out of my shell a lot. So I owe a lot to her with that. And that certainly helps with being able to do podcasts and stuff like that. I have no problem with that now, you know, and it's just maybe a comfortability to getting out there and doing that and just saying, you know, screw that. I'm just going to do it. And I don't care what people think. The podcasting, it's just been a life changer for me, you know, behind the microphone and just really in real life too.
And had you ever guested on any podcast prior to being your own podcast, or was this like a first jump into it?
No, the first time I had ever gotten on a podcast was actually Open Bar in April with Jay Mike. I think I was, Sal Lito was the other, there's another guest too, and I can't think of him. But I know Sal was on there, and that's how we started talking. So, love Sal, obviously, one of my closest contacts in fantasy, but yeah, that was, and I didn't really talk that much. Like, I wanted to, and then I just was very content on hanging back. And that's something that I still kind of deal with today, because it's hard to really get yourself out there, especially when there's multiple people. It's, you know, it's one thing when it's you and me on a podcast, or, you know, me and Gary or and Coop and other people. But that's for the first time, that's kind of daunting to be out there with maybe four other people that you don't really know that well, and where you're expected to maybe put out some takes. And so that's why I kind of hung back and spoke when I was spoken to, but you know, obviously met all those guys in Canton, and, you know, it's just obviously met you, and it's just, it's so fantastic to be able to, you know, be a lot more comfortable in my skin doing podcasting now.
I really do think that the open bar is a rite of passage, kind of. And it's also like a super, that was my first podcast experience too, was going on open bar. Gabe was like, hey, do you want to come on? And he was a second guest on this show because I was like, kind of paying it for, you know, come on my show because I came on yours, you know, and as a first, like, you know, to be able to have some place for him to come. Like those guys, J Mike and Gabe are just super awesome people. And what they have going is awesome too, because so many people come out of there making friends, making connections, networking, doing all that jazz. So super dope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're fantastic people. J Mike was I was so happy I got to meet him. He was like the last person that I had on my like list that I want to see them this weekend. And I was at the Ball Blast booth and I saw him walk by. I'm like, Mike, J Mike, holy crap. I'm like, and he's like, Kev, and you know, he told me he'd buy me pizza, and I told him he's a damn liar. So,
you know, I hear these people. I was at the expo, but I was in such a mindset that was like a crappy mindset for a good portion of the time I was there. Not when I was around people, but just like when I was at my hotel and when I was just because I was there by myself and all this jazz, right? And getting my head. But, you know, I would have liked to. But Gabe was there. You were there. How was the expo, by the way? Let's talk about that, because I had Alex on last week, Alex Caruso, and he was there. I met him as well, and he was telling me how much fun he had. So how was that experience for you?
Now, I was in the same boat. I went by myself. I was actually one of the first people there, I believe. I was there on Thursday afternoon because I had an extra day off of work, and I'm like, you know what? I might as well fly out. I booked these tickets like in February, I want to say. I got way ahead of everybody. You know, I'm a travel agent, so I was able to just get these all taken care of in the hotel and all that. So yeah, I was by myself, and you know, I don't drive, so I'm just sitting there and basically in the hotel and, you know, at the bar and doing all this stuff. And so Friday comes and I am getting the elevator, and the first person I see is Michael Sipes. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be a great weekend. And then, you know, saw a bunch of people like Nate Markham, Jorge Edwards, you know, at the hotel bar. And it's funny because I sat with them, with Nate and his wife. Me and his wife were talking. I had no idea who it is. And that's the thing. You can only go by so much, you know, from what you know on Twitter. A lot of people don't have their picture up there on their avatar. I have a cartoon picture of me, but, you know, I've had me up there for however long. But yeah, you know, before they get those lanyards with the thing, you're not walking up to somebody's stomach and be like, hey, who are you? Like, let me pull you up on my Twitter. No, but that Friday night was wild. Like I saw the first people come in, like Sam Wallace, who is, I could not believe how tall he was when I met him. Like the dude is like 6 foot a billion. No, he's a 6'2", but nicest guy in the world. And you know, he is exactly who he is on Twitter. Tyler Gunthner, fantastic dude. Nate Hamilton, you know, getting to meet Kate and Michelle, getting to meet, you know, Brian Drake and Ryan and Steve. We all went to dinner. You know, we went with Drew Davenport and, you know, hung out with, you know, Mike Clay was there. Mike Clay was there. Curtis Patrick was there. It's just wild to see all these people in one space congregating. And I did not have one bad experience talking to anybody. You know, I got to meet, you know, all these people that I've been reading content for. You know, like Andy Behrens. I was at the King's Classic. Me and Brian Drake had a team for Fighting Chance, and you know, doing draft with like Scott Pianowski. And then I helped out with the big auction. You know, Brad Evans, mm-hmm. Mike Clay, you know, Bob Harris. You know, all these guys. It was just wild. It was absolutely wild to be able to meet all these people, actually shake their hand, talk to them, and just chop it up. I mean, you get kind of they're exalted almost when you're, you know, on Twitter and like, what would he ever, you know, be doing talking to me? But, you know, just being able to talk to like Jeff Ratcliffe and Denny Carter, like just have a conversation with the three of them while we're all three sheets to the wind. So, Yeah, it's just, it's so wild. And it was just such a fun experience. And Bob Lung is a saint.
Yeah, he is.
For putting all that together for the fantasy community in a great space like Canton, you know, being able to utilize the Hall of Fame. I can't give enough thanks to Bob Lung for putting this all together, because that, you know, being able to network with all those people, that's huge. That's, you know, a lot of what it is. But the one thing that I would hope for maybe next year would be to get more fantasy football content consumers there versus creators. I would love to get, you know, some perspective on how people that are consuming our content, you know, how they feel about it and anything that we can change and anything that we can do better to serve them. Because I feel like that should be the next avenue to where this expo goes, is being able to get that point of view as well. Mm-hmm. It's great to be able to chop it up with, you know, fellow content creators and, you know, do all this stuff. But I think that's the next avenue that we need to go down as far as, you know, really getting that perspective.
I am very sorry to have to stop this important podcast to bring you an important announcement. Yep, that's right. Thank you so much to Trophy Smack for being an affiliate of Get Real with Casey Kasem. This is the spot to check out if you're looking for fantasy football trophies, belts, rings, draft boards, and more. I have an affiliate link. I'll put that in the description. You can check that out in order to view all of the rad items that they have to offer. There's free shipping and free engraving, plus 100% satisfaction guaranteed. I've been a fan of this company for a very long time, and you should definitely check them out. Make sure to use the discount code GETREALPOD for a free ring with the purchase of trophy or belt. Note, you must have both the trophy or belt plus the ring in your cart for the discount to apply. Football season is here, guys. It is right here, right now. So, what are you waiting for? And back.
For sure. For sure. And my sister came for Saturday, so she was there. I went to a draft night out, and she came. She doesn't know anything about – I mean, she plays fantasy football with me, and it's super awesome. She's really good at it because I know she's listening. I know you're listening. That's why I'm saying that. She always says, oh, I heard you talking shit about me. Anyway, not to talk shit, but I took her there, and she's chatting it up with, like, you know, so many different people and getting – she's like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing ever. So, yeah, getting those people in and the sessions that they had. Like, I sat in some of those sessions, like the Dynasty Trade Calculator and the Dynasty, you know, strategies and everything. And it was so cool to see how packed all those rooms were with people that were, like, taking notes and, like, you know, asking questions. So
yeah. I wish I could have gotten into some of those. I was working the Ball Blast booth, so I wasn't able to really. I walked around for a little bit, but you know, those panels are super awesome. I would love to get on one of those next year. I even joked around with Bob Lung, like, when are we gonna get the Zero RB panel next year?
There you go.
With four people there. So I mean,
I mean, you know what?
There's or people throwing tomatoes.
You know, well, you know, we'll hand them out at the door, and then if they choose to use the tomatoes, it's up to their discretion, you know.
Perfect. Either that, make some ketchup, do what you gotta do.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. I want to go back real quick because you were talking about your podcast with Gary at, you know, when you guys started out. How did you and Gary decide that you two were the ones that wanted to come together and do a podcast together? And what was that process that was going on in that situation?
So, I mean, from the debacle that was the Fantasy Escape Pod, I had still, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, all right, I'm in a good place right now. I'm in a good place financially. You know, I want to be able to, if I'm going to do this podcast thing, I want to be able to do it right. So started getting some stuff together and I'm like, all right. I know Gary was looking to do a little bit. And then this was right before he won Scott Fishbowl. So kind of lucked out there. He'll say that, oh, Kevin's only there because I won Scott Fishbowl. Screw you, Gary. No, I mean, it just worked out perfectly and being able to plan that. And Gary's fantastic. He's one of my best friends. Couldn't ask for anything better with him. And, you know, like I said, we were pretty much in the same headspace as far as wanting to do a podcast, wanting to get off the ground, the same kind of feelings and emotions in starting one, anxieties too, because definitely a lot of those. But yeah, couldn't ask for a better partner to be able to do a podcast with, and kind of both learn, because I know that Gary kind of is not big on written content, but mm-hmm. I know that, you know, if there's going to be an avenue for him to be able to do that kind of contribution, it would be via the podcast. So, you know, I know that is an avenue that he wanted to get down as well. And I think it was just a perfect match as far as me and him getting together, being able to do this and getting, you know, so many great people to come on with us to just share some knowledge about fantasy football and, you know, have some fun along the way.
How do you get these great people to come on your podcast?
I pay them and I beg them. Casey, your check is in the mail, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I've been waiting on it since that first
episode. Yeah, it's been held up, and I think it might be in the dead letter office by now. But yeah, I'll have
and
to
I've
talk
to
my people.
And I've moved, so you probably don't.
Yeah, exactly. Address. I'll have my people talk to your people. We'll get that figured out. No, it's really just the connections that you make, and you know, hey, I saw this article you put out. You know, would love to talk. You know, about topic A, whatever it is. Yeah. Sure. All right. Boom. Then you have that contact, and then you can, you know, keep the connections open too. It doesn't end as soon as you go off of live on your podcast. Like, keep those connections going and do all that. Like, being able to just build it up and asking people, because like I said, you have these exalted views on people like Liz Loza. I think I went through you to get. You and Liz Loza were with us last year. The infant, if you want to go back and listen to her Zach Moss take from last year. Yeah, but just being able to make those connections and putting yourself out there. That's the biggest part of it, is putting yourself out there. Not the worst thing. The worst thing that can happen is they say no. Oh well, you know, I've gotten no a lot of people from a lot of people, but it's never been like a flat no. It's been a, you know, it's the timing's not great right now. I've got all this, but would love to talk to you, you know, later on about doing something. That's the thing. People are so gracious with their time and energy to be able to help grow fantasy football and grow this community. Like, there's not a lot of people that are in it for themselves, and that's the best part of it. You know, I've only come across a couple people. I'm not going to mention them by name, a fantasy football counselor. but, sorry.
You're not the first person on this podcast to somebody else brought him up, but less subtly, more like, I'm not going to get into it. If you guys listen to the Matthew, never mind. Keep going. Hey y'all. If you really like my glasses, yeah, I've got glasses in all kinds of colors and styles. They're just super dope and they really set off your style. So if you want to check out some really cheap glasses that are really well made, you should go to zennyoptical.com. I'll put the link in the description, but if you go there, you'll get $5 and I'll get $5. So what are you waiting for? You want some awesome glasses? You're looking for cheap sunglasses, prescription glasses, whatever. Go over to zennyoptical.com. Make sure you check out my link that's in the description to get $5 off your order at zennyoptical.com. And we back.
Yeah, I've never been anything. I've never been subtle in a lot of things. So yeah, but yeah, that's just, everybody's so welcoming and so giving and so, you know, gracious with their time and energy. It's really just so. That's what makes this community so great. And don't be afraid to get out there and reach out to people. Like, there's people I never thought I could ever have on a podcast and be able to talk to on a podcast, like a Nando DeFino, like an Ian Harditz, you know, guys like Liz Loza, you know, that we would love to have on again. Ben Gretsch, guys like that, you know, that I've talked to and, you know, we'd love to get in, you know, some time to talk, you know, Sean Siegel, guys like that. It's just absolutely wild the connections that you can make by just saying, hey, you want to talk for even, you know, half an hour. It doesn't have to be. And that's a one thing too. Not everybody has an hour. So you don't have to get them for an hour. You just, hey, I'd love to take like 25, 30 minutes of your time if you've got it to be able to talk about whatever, you know, whatever you just wrote about, or even just sleepers or whatever the case may be. Like, don't be afraid.
Who's somebody that you haven't had on your podcast? It doesn't even have to be a fantasy football analyst or anybody in the space. It could just be a random person. But somebody that you haven't had on your podcast that you think would be so dope to have on your podcast.
I mean, this is going to be probably the same for a lot of people, but it'd probably be Matthew Berry. And that's just because we're both Syracuse guys. You know, my favorite pizza place is his favorite pizza place, Varsity, in downtown Syracuse, right on the SU campus. So, you know, I have his, you know, his book. I've read his book front to back. You know, his story is fantastic, doing TV writing, you know, and then just kind of getting into the fantasy space and then just absolutely exploding. Just being able to talk to him and, you know, pick his brain and, you know, get to just go back and forth with him. I mean, that's just the dream. Like, and then also on the same token, you know, I got to talk to Brad Evans a little bit at the expo, and that's somebody who I would love to chop it up with. Yeah, I know he's a Bears fan, big Illinois guy. So yeah, that's, as a Packer fan, you know, I'm kind of, you know, putting myself in a box here, but yeah, he would be awesome to be able to have on there. And, you know, there's so many people I would love to have on there too. You know, Andy Behrens, you know, people out of Jamie Eisenberg, guys like that, that I've been following for so many years and, you know, that I've kind of looked up to in this space. So, yeah, that Stefania Bell is another one that I've definitely looked up to and love reading, you know, anything that she puts out as far as the injuries and stuff like that. And I've listened to the 06010 podcast, you know, as long as I can remember for fantasy. That's like the first podcast I listened to for fantasy. And I think that's a lot of people's first podcast too. That's their first exposure to that kind of medium. So, yeah, that's like my short list, but there's so many people, you know, that I would love to just even talk to for 20 minutes and just to be able to pick their brains.
Do you ever go and listen to yourself back? I know if, you know, some people are like, I don't edit at all. Some people edit, but do you actually like listen to the conversation and go back, or is that off limits?
I do sometimes. I honestly hate the way I sound. Like, I cannot like listen to myself for more than a minute. And then I'm like,
yeah,
I get kind of that, oh, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe somebody's going to listen to that. but I'm a heavy editor. I'm very OCD and a bit meticulous with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist as far as like getting things down to, okay, this is when I need to insert the intro at this point, or I need to insert the, you know, the outro at this time, like, and I need to cut that little, yeah, you know, where I can hear myself breathing in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of bad with that, and that, I know it takes a lot of time, and you know, I could be just, you know, rip it from StreamYard and throw it in Audacity, put intro outro, and then you're good to go. I just don't know if I can do that because I want people to hear the best version of everything. So I'm kind of a perfectionist in that way, but yeah, listening to myself, I cringe, not gonna lie.
I mean, I'm in that same boat, and my excuse for not really doing as much editing is that this is a conversational podcast. That's like us just talking. So like, if there's a big long pause, I'm taking it out. If I cough or like my internet goes out because it's crap, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it just depends on what you're putting out, and you have to realize what kind of podcast you're putting out too. And that's another thing that I didn't notice or think about when I went into, before I did this podcast, I also attempted a fantasy football podcast and it didn't work out the way, you know, whatever. But it is very time sensitive and you got to get the stuff out real quick. And so, do you feel any added pressure when you're like editing and stuff, or is it like you're in a, you know, you've got it down, you're in your zone?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely the time sensitive nature of the everything in general with football, you know, definitely is, it's kind of that internal clock at that point. But as far as editing, I don't really feel that too much as long as I get stuff out, you know, in the next day or so. But creating content, like right now, we're for Lightning Round, we're doing 184 player profiles, like minute long videos on YouTube. And right now we have about 25 of them, and I'm looking to get them all done by like Friday night at the latest. So I'm not going to sleep likely. I mean, it's just, but it's something that I, you know, I'm very passionate about and want to be able to do that and want to get that out to people, because people are the most, you know, the busiest time for drafting is going to be this weekend. So that's something where, oh, I, you know, Mac Jones, I just heard he's, you know, the starting quarterback now. Well, you know, what are we going to do with him in fantasy? Am I going to draft him in the ninth round? I probably don't have to, but let me go on YouTube. Oh, Mac Jones. Perfect. Like that's, you know, that's stuff you have to, you can't just wait on stuff like that. And yeah, it's a pretty big undertaking for that, but you know, nothing makes me happier than to be able to put that stuff out and just kind of see the fruits of the labor, because that's what it's all about. People see that, you know, if you want to move up in this industry, if you want to be able to do this for a living, you know, you can't just do, you can't half-ass it. You have to whole-ass it. So you have to just get out there, do it. And, you know, time is time. It's always going by and life happens and that's perfectly fine. But you also have to put the work into to do that. And to, if you want to meet that goal, you know, it's very important to do that.
Let's touch more on lightning round because you've talked about it. But I want to go more into depth about what it is and how that came about, how that spawned off. So can you give me more information on that?
Yeah. So lightning round is, so myself and Gary, we ended Fighting Chance live, in, I believe January of this year. And so we were talking about how we want to kind of move forward because we didn't want to, I mean, we're still part of Fighting Chance Fantasy and all that, but we wanted to kind of do something where we branch and something standalone. So we were thinking about, you know, what is this industry? You know, what's the community? What are they talking about? What are they looking for? And yeah, there's hour long pods and that's great. But micro content is huge right now. And, mm-hmm. and people don't have a lot of time to, you know, devote so much of their time to hour long podcast. They want something more, you know, digestible and being able to just, okay, bite-sized content. So that's where Lightning Round came about. You know, myself and Gary, and we also added Andrew Cooper, who is the lead NFL content creator for fantasyalarm.com. So we got linked up actually through Scott Fishbowl last year. And we also do a fantasy bestie show on Mondays with Linda, JB, Jared Berry, Jordan Loop, and myself, and Coop, obviously. But yeah, so we got linked up doing that through Scott Fishbowl. That's where I got linked up with Coop. You know, he puts out a lot of great work on tight ends and, you know, as far as being the lead, he's now the lead content creator for Fantasy Alarm on the football side. So he's just smart as a whip and just somebody that was a natural add as far as wanting to make it, you know, from not just me and Gary, but adding that third person really has a great dynamic to that. But yeah, the premise of that really was to, of Lightning Round was to kind of get some quick content out. And I think this is, you know, obviously we're putting out minute long videos now, so it's perfectly digestible to be able to get stuff out to people without, you know, people saying, oh, I don't have time to watch. I don't have time to watch a 45 minute video on breakouts or sleepers. You know, I want, you know, I have this guy and I don't want to have to search through a podcast to find something on Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think that's a perfect vehicle for fantasy. And I don't see a lot of people doing that. I know there's, you know, some people doing micro content, but not a lot, not as much as I would think. So mm-hmm. I think that's something where we can kind of capitalize on that and be at least unique in that aspect. And then I did get a lot of comments actually at the expo mm-hmm. thinking that we ripped off the Dynasty Rewinds logo because it's similar as far as Lightning Round to their like the 80s motif kind of. It's close, but it's different. That's all I'll say. I did get that. Like, I always get you two mixed up. I'm like, how? He has awesome content and we're just, you know, fish in a barrel here. So, that was the origin story of Lightning Round. And we're really just ramping up. We're going to be doing like, you know, 5 minute waivers on Tuesday. We're going to be doing, a kickoff show on Sunday with myself, Gary, and, Britt Flynn, who, does work on Fighting Chance Fantasy as well. So we're mm-hmm. so excited to have her, join us as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, creating content. And then we're going to have our podcast as always on Wednesday nights with myself, Coop, and Gary. So, yeah.
And are you guys all in different time zones? Are you guys all in the same time zone?
Gary and I are, Gary's in Texas, and I'm in North Dakota, so we're both central. Coop is based out of the Boston area, so he's Eastern.
So it's not too bad, because sometimes you'll have like a Pacific, you know, and then Eastern, and you're and it's hard to get that. What do you do when you have a guest that's in a different time zone, like maybe even like Pacific or whatever, and they want to come, you want them on your show, but it, like the time is kind of, you know, crazy for one or the other.
Yeah, I will always bow to whatever they can do, because I want to make myself available when they are available. So I have no problem adjusting my schedule for other people. Like, I know Liz, you know, we were on pretty late, but obviously it's not late Pacific time. Yeah. So, you know, that's, I have no problem being able to make myself flexible for, you know, anybody else. I mean, we were on, myself and Gary were on, we had Murph and Stocks on from 5 Yard Rush last year too. So that's, you know, they're in England. Yeah. So yeah, that's something to adjust to, you know, doing a podcast at, I want to say it was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, you know, cause that time, I believe it's like 7 or 8. So yeah, that's, no problem being able to make myself available. You know, I will never, you know, be rigid in, well, you know, we can only do it at this certain time. Like, whenever you have available, I will do my best to work myself to be available at that time, because that's important to me to be able to reduce the amount of stress and, you know, having to maneuver everything around. I want, I'll worry about that myself. I don't want them to worry about that at all.
What happens if you're having a bad day and then you're going, you know, it's a day that you put out your podcast, it's Wednesday. How do you get yourself through that and go out there and just do it?
It's so difficult because, you know, unfortunately, I'm the kind of person where you can kind of read where, he might not be having a great day, but it's usually the company you keep, you know, being able to, you know, as soon as you turn on that microphone, you have to be, you can't be, oh, this is Kevin Tompkins. Welcome into Lightning Round. They ain't nobody gonna listen to that. You know, it's like, you might as well just read the phone book in that case. But yeah, so just being able to, the company you keep is paramount to all that. Cause you know, whenever I see Gary and Coop up there, it's always a fun time. And then being able to chop it up with whoever, you know, if we have a guest on or whatever the case may be. So that, you know, 99.99% of the time pulls me out of it. There's never been a time where I've been, you know, feeling, oh, I can't do this. You know, I gotta back myself out of this when I'm with somebody, you know, that's never been the case, but it's usually just, I have dread, maybe some dread getting into it beforehand, but then as soon as I turn the webcam on, I'm usually good to go.
And you were talking about having other people there with you, and writing is completely different because it's just you on your own. Do you ever have like writer's block or a situation where you just, you know, really can't make whatever you're trying to say come out properly, because it's different when you're podcasting, you can be better at getting your point across.
Yeah, that's difficult. You know, I do. I mean, everybody gets that. People are lying if they say they don't. So, I mean, it's really difficult to kind of get over that hump. I just try to go maybe do something else. You know, if I'm sitting here and it's just seeing a blinking cursor and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I'll either do that or I will set myself up as far as putting out an outline of what I want to do. If I need to get graphics, if I need to do whatever, I will do that. And then kind of let that kind of fuel that a little bit. So I will do everything I can outside of actually filling out the content, and the writing to be able to do that. But yeah, having that writer's block, that's definitely an impediment to, you know, wanting to, especially when you're time sensitive too. Mm-hmm. It can be very difficult to do that, but you know, I will step away and do something else. And then usually, you know, if I'm doing something else, I'll have something in my mind and I'm like run back down to the office to be able to at least get that down or put something, you know, on a piece of paper and being able to bring that with me and just collect them all and then kind of piece them together later. But yeah, that's, writer's block sucks. And especially if it's something that, oh, I need to get this done the night before. Yeah,
I get that. I was asking for personal reasons because I'm having that kind of issue right now. So I just wanted to kind of get your take on everything. When you are putting out a podcast for the first time. I want to ask a couple more questions about your podcast, because I know a lot of people that listen to this show, they're trying to get tips and ideas on putting out content like that, putting out podcasts. So how do you promote the podcast once you have the podcast, you know, ready to go? How do you get that word out?
Yeah. So, I mean, being able to utilize different kind of, you know, because Coop does a lot of stuff on Reddit too. You know, he's very in tune as well with, you know, Beer Sheets, which is big on Reddit as well, and getting a little bit of a foothold on Twitter. The Fantasy Football Newsletter as well, their community on Discord. The Discord communities are very, very good tools as far as being able to pump content and start to get kind of a rumbling or a following too, because you know they're there for a lot of them are just there for the same reason, to follow one person or follow, you know, an idea or whatever the case may be. But you know, being able to that is something that is very lost on people, and I'm not great at it either. I'll admit that 100% as far as like Twitter, like I always feel like I'm bothering people when mm-hmm. I put stuff, like if I'm gonna blast stuff out, you know, one after the other, I feel like I'm bothering people. And then that's where I feel like, well, maybe I should just scale back. I know you probably can't do that when you have all this when you have content, but yeah. I can't help but shake that specific feeling where I, you know, they keep seeing stuff from me. They're just going to like block me at this point. But yeah.
Well, I mean, if the Twitter algorithm is putting it so that we're seeing all your content and nobody else's, you know, I swear the Twitter I don't know what they do, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of back-to-back tweets from people.
Yeah, I don't. And that's something that's, I will never understand. I don't think anybody will ever understand other than like that Jack guy. On Twitter is the Twitter algorithm. It is the worst. And I do not understand how what posts get traction and then mm-hmm. some just die. I will never understand that, and to why, you know, people just do not see it, you know, even if they're actively looking for it. So yeah, it is what it is, but you can only do what you can with Twitter, with Reddit, with Discord, with all these avenues, you know, YouTube. You know, YouTube is very, appearance oriented. Obviously, you're putting yourself out there. There are videos, graphics are very, you know, that's the one avenue where that is pretty important, because mm-hmm. that's what you're using to draw people in. So, you know, our color scheme is pink, blue, and yellow. I mean, if that's not going to draw people in, you know, we're screwed. But trying to be able to do that. And, you know, we certainly thank Jordan Loop, Cantaloupe _FF on Twitter. He did our lightning round, our logo, and kind of branched off of that. He had the idea for all that as far as, you know, putting that all together. So definitely indebted to him as far mm-hmm. as doing that. But yeah, that's something where you can put out all the content you want, but if you're not having anything to draw people in, then, you know, you're kind of dead in the water. And then their algorithm too, I mean, just it's kind of the same as Instagram's, where you need to post every day. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you miss 3-4 days, you're back at square one. You have to build that up again. So, you know, it's tough. And, you know, I know we talked to some Instagram fantasy football content creators at the expo, mm-hmm. a couple great guys, their name escapes me right now, but I'll shout them out on Twitter later. But yeah, it's really a wild world as far as Instagram, because there's only a couple people out there that are really putting mm-hmm. out content, but they're doing it every day and are very creative with it and have found their own niche. And they said they don't use Twitter. I mean, that's, you know, they barely use Twitter other than maybe network, but that's about it. So yeah, being able to find those presences and then working to that is paramount.
Yeah. Like that guy, Alex, that I had on last week, he's a big in TikTok, and he was doing Instagram too, but he was telling me about the graphics thing. Like on Instagram, you need to be able to like put out nice graphics and stuff, and it was just too much work. And you know, like you said earlier about putting out that content in those bursts like that, the small, you know, then that's why he does it on TikTok, because you know, you only get a certain amount of time. So that's really cool. And you're talking about all these different apps and all of these different websites, and you're like, I'm 37 and I don't know anything about computer. I'm 37. I don't want a Discord. I don't want a interweb app that I never heard of. Let's do this. I know Discord. I've been on Discord. But what I'm saying is I'm one of those people who's like, I only want two apps on my phone.
Case full disclosure, I pulled up this StreamYard tab on Netscape Navigator. So that's what I'm still using right now. Oh. And I went to search a couple things using Ask Jeeves. So that's where I'm at.
Ask Jeeves. Oh, there's a blast from the past.
Right?
This is why your logo looks the way it does, because you're so old school.
Yeah, I put them all on my GeoCities page, so you can go on find that. GeoCities.
I had a nice, an Angel Fire website. And
We can go all day. Tripod.
Yes, Tripod. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Memories. So you've been doing fantasy football for a while. How has fantasy football changed since we're talking about going back to the past? How has it changed in that 20 years?
You didn't have like one site doing content. I mean, it was pretty much on Yahoo. But as far as I can remember, it was like doing on Yahoo and like CBS, because that's where I, you know, would see like JB and Dave Richard and Nando doing all that stuff for CBS. And then yeah, just the different ways of being able to get content and the when you need information. So like the first league that I did that I shared with my dad, it was all on pen and paper. Like we didn't do it on a computer. So, you know, that was fun for me. I like, you know, I'm kind of a nerd and I have no problem doing that on like a Sunday night or like a Monday morning, literally getting the newspaper and going through the box scores to be able to find, you know, to be able to tally up the yards and reception. Cause we did PPR way back in the day when like nobody did PPR. So that was big. And yeah, me and my dad always shared a team. We had our undefeated season in 2006, I believe it was, or seven.
Wow.
That was always a rite of passage and he passed away in 2008. So I've, you know, that's always, he's a big reason why I've would do content as well. He's one of the main drivers in that, just because, you know, in 2008, when that stuff happened with him, mm-hmm. I was a jerk. I was a jackass. Let's get it right. I mean, I was 24 years old at the time. So, I mean, when you're 24, who isn't? Honestly, but you know, just being able to turn into the person I feel like I am now today from then, you know, I think he'd be proud. And you know, he knew how much I like to write, and I never ever gave anything like this a thought to what I'd be doing today back then. So I mean, just that's a big driver in, you know, why I do what I do, you know, every day, mm-hmm. putting out content, but you know, making people mad with Nick Chubb takes on Twitter, you know.
You know, that's awesome to hear though. Like I love hearing those kind of stories about, you know, dads and their influence or moms and their influence and all that's just awesome. And to be able to have that camaraderie with your family like that, you know, and be able to share that bond. So yeah, your dad was a very lucky man to have you as a son, and I'm sure he would be very proud of you. So super dope.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And putting out content, you know, is super fun to do, but we all know that you can get burned out when you feel like, you know, everything is just at that point where like, it's just a lot. How do you get yourself back into the mindset to be able to, you know, focus on fantasy football and all that jazz? Or do you have to take a little bit of time and get yourself in that mood?
I feel like I could do it with bursts. Like I can just, you know, kind of decompress for a few hours and then get back into it. Like I will try to set aside time where, you know, because the way that works out is, my girlfriend works from home. So, and she works until about 10 o'clock. So when I'm done at work at like 5:30, I still have that time to be able to do that. So I can do whatever as far as content, you know, all that in that time. But after 10 o'clock, it's usually like no go, like we're spending time and late dinner and stuff like that. But Yeah, if I ever feel, which, you know, during the season is the toughest part, because that's the most time sensitive with mm-hmm. content to put out, is that feeling of getting burned out there. But honestly, the most burned out I've gotten is setting lineups and doing all that we talked about. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I've gravitated toward doing all those best balls, is because I don't want to have to set. I'm going to, because I believe I have 20 something managed leagues, or however many it's going to end up being. But yeah, so the burnout is definitely real, and I kind of take it a little bit easy because I like Dynasty, but I'm not super like content creating during the Dynasty time. I'm usually doing redraft stuff, you know, full year round, and then I'll mm-hmm. do best ball stuff. But like I'll get into do a little bit of Dynasty stuff, but I'm not super into it. So that's mainly the time where you start getting into spring, where I'll have a lot of time to be able to do some projects, you know, go on vacation. Like next year, we're coming back to Syracuse for a wedding. So that's, you know, perfect timing there with right after the draft.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the time that I usually take. But, you know, Aaron's been super supportive with being able to create content. And that's important too, you know, because I know how much time I put into it, and she knows what my goal is. And she supports me to no end to be able to achieve that goal. So, you mm-hmm. know, it's just that support is just, it's critical. You know, especially if you're with somebody, I can understand, because in previous, you know, relationships that I've had, wanting to do something or a big undertaking like that and have met resistance, and that can just derail you, you know, any kind of motivation to want to do something that can kind of just hit that roadblock and you can't recover from it. But, you know, I consider myself very lucky to be able to have somebody that supports me in the way she supports me, to my goal of eventually being to do this as a living, for my living, and be able to put food on my table. So, that's what drives me. Even, you know, if I have writer's block or whatever the case may be, it's not usually super, you know, long that I have that. I'll usually, mm-hmm. my brain stays pretty active, and, you know, I try to just take a little bit of time, but always come back to it a few hours later.
So was Aaron, were you guys together when you started doing fantasy football content, or was that something that came after you guys got together in a relationship?
That came after. Actually, it's funny. We met on Twitter. Okay. Talking about Spotted Cow beer from Wisconsin, by the way, where I was drinking one, and somebody had said, that's a girl beer.
Oh.
And then, yeah. So she came in and said, oh, it's not. And I remember I DM'd her, and you were just randomly talking in October of 2018. And then, you know, fast forward, she came out to New York. I went out to North Dakota, and I've been here for over 2 years now in North Dakota, and, you know, couldn't be happier. So yeah, she's been there as far as me bouncing ideas off of her too, and getting her opinion, as kind of, she does fantasy football too, but she does one league, mm-hmm. you know, with some people that, you know, friends and stuff like that. We just drafted Sunday, and was happy to have her, you know, kind of snake some people off of a mutual friend of ours. His name is Kevin as well. You know, Trey Lance, who was probably going to end up getting a statue here in Fargo, right next to the Carson Wentz one. But we can't say anything bad about either of those two quarterbacks here. I'm contractually obligated. I'm there's a window right there. I'm going to get something thrown through it if I do. So I try to watch my tongue. But yeah, so, she's not super into the fantasy content as well, but, you know, she's very supportive, and, you know, she's been there through all of that, through all the anxiety, and just been a great sounding board through, any kind of roadblocks that I've had. So, you know, super grateful, and couldn't ask for anybody better in the world.
Well, that is awesome that she could go through this journey with you and see you be so happy doing something that you really enjoy doing. So that, yeah, that is really awesome. And I love getting that information from people that come on here that are in relationships, because everybody's relationships are different, but at the end of the day, it all goes back to, they're still supportive. So that's super dope. I want to know, where all are you contributing and writing and everything right now? Because I know that you've got your hand in a lot of different pots. So what's going down?
Yeah, so lots of different pots. So on the podcast side, the Fantasy Besties, like I said, with Linda, Andrew Cooper, Jordan Loop, and Jared Berry on Mondays, usually about 7:15 Eastern. We're going to be starting that back up again. Season 2, Bigger, Badder, Bestier, we called it. So that's a lot of fun. That's very laid back. That podcast, we stream on Twitter. Also we, lightning round on Wednesdays and then the Sunday, we're calling it the calm before the storm, on Sundays before kickoff. And then writing wise, was able to link up with Kate and Michelle, earlier this year. And I'm writing for Ball Blast Football as well. It's funny, actually, Michelle and I went to the same high school.
Really?
Yeah, just years apart, but we kind of had that connection. We have, mutual friends. One of her best friends is somebody I worked with for a long time. And then, so happy to get to actually meet them in person at mm-hmm. the expo too. And then I do some work as well for Fantasy Pros, and then for Fighting Chance Fantasy as well. Mostly back end stuff, editing, wanting to just get everybody's content out there. Also, doing a little bit of work, for putting in baseball lineups actually on Fantasy Alarm on Sunday morning. So. Thanks to Ryan Hallam for that and being able to kind of get my foot in the door that way too. We call him the Godfather, and that for a good reason.
For sure. We do. I want to know too, you had talked about Scott Fishbowl earlier and about how some of your connections had come out of that. And I can see behind you, this isn't a visual podcast. I say that all the time. Like, people that are listening don't know that this isn't a visual podcast, but behind you, you have your Scott Fishbowl rosters. I can see.
Yep.
How important is the Scott Fishbowl to the fantasy football community? And I know there are a lot of people that don't know what the Scott Fishbowl is, which is crazy to think that there are people that don't know what it is, but just kind of inform everybody why you like it so much.
Yeah. So, the Scott Fishbowl, it's actually something I learned about like right before Ryan, he told me to go apply. I'm like, what even is this? Like, I'll do it. I give in to peer pressure. So, no, Scott Fishbowl, it's a, it's a charity fantasy football endeavor. Used to be from Fantasy Football Oasis, started by Mr. Scott Fish himself. Fantastic guy. I got to meet him at the expo. That was one of the first on my list, to be able to meet and shake hands and say, hey, and have a drink with him and do all that. But, it's really a great charity endeavor. It grows every year with so many people. I think it's what's it at this year? 1,900, something like that. There's a lot of people, but anyway. So basically it's charity fantasy cares. We have the pot-a-thon that precedes it. That's like almost the unofficial start of the fantasy football season. Sal Lito, Steve Marcus, and Kevin Cotillo put that on every single year, to raise money for different charities, great causes. And that's really what it's all about, is being able to, with fantasy football, being able to help those, that are certainly, either going through a tough time or less fortunate, whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's something I'm proud to be a part of. This is my third Scott Fishbowl this season. I haven't gotten the third one up there yet, but I have it actually right there to be able to put up. I got to figure out. There's going to be what's the color for wide receiver? Green. There's going to be a lot of green on the first part of the side this year. Because I may have drafted 7 wide receivers in a row. So, yeah, it is what it is. It worked out now because I now got Kyler, Aaron Rodgers, and 7 wide receivers. And a running back now because Gus Edwards.
It worked out for you.
It did. The thesis of the play. But, if you don't know, just literally scottfishbowl.com. There's a lot of stuff you can read about it. You're talking people from ESPN, celebrities. I got in the REM division this year. REM is like my favorite band and my parents' favorite band. So being able to get in that division with Mike Mills, who is in the band, is like I was fangirling something crazy. Don't tell him I said that. Because he'll probably laugh at me, but and so will everybody else in the division. But it's okay. It's what happens. But yeah, it's just the connections you're able to make just through Scott Fishbowl and so many people bringing everybody together for one. You know, for all these causes that are near and dear to people. It's absolutely wild. It blows my mind just the reach that this whole thing has. And then getting to hear him talk with Matthew Berry about that on the 06010 podcast, you know, about Scott Fishbowl and all that, was so happy to listen to that and have him get out there more, because I know Scott is the most humble person in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, for him to be able to get to do that, I'm so happy to be able to have him get more people's attention to that.
I've got a couple of more questions for you, a couple more, and then we're going to wrap it up. But I want to know a couple of fun tidbits about you. So who's your all-time favorite Packer?
All-time favorite Packer. That's tough because I have so many. I would say probably I can't separate them. It's either Sterling Sharp or it's Donald Driver. Donald Driver is somebody me and my dad met when he was, I believe, in the second year. I want to say it was 2000 or 2001. We went to a Packer game and met him at some random bar. And Donald Driver had no reason to sit down and talk to us, but he was up getting a drink and we were just hanging out. And he just was talking to my dad and, you know, talking to me for like 25 minutes, just, you know, and he's pretty, you know, he's recognizable. You know, if you saw him on like Dancing with the Stars, you know, big, huge smile, bald head, earring in his, you know, you can't mistake him in Green Bay. So, you know, and he's a Southern boy too. So he's just fantastic to be able to talk to and had no reason to be able to talk to a guy, you know, guys like us, but did. And then Sterling Sharp, who is probably my favorite Packer growing up and being able to idolize him. His career got cut short, should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what anybody says. you know, he had a neck injury and kind of lost his career there, but, you know, those two, you know, and we go back to, you know, I gravitate toward wide receivers. That may be a reason why.
So what is watching football like with you on Sunday?
I've dialed back on the emotional response because I would be yelling at the TV about Green Bay. And that's the one thing about putting out fantasy football content and being so ingrained into it is that it kind of takes a little bit of that emotional response away. So like I told you I have 100 plus teams. So I have everybody everywhere, apparently, except for Kenny Galladay. But, you know, if I'm watching the Packers and Vikings, like I'm cheering, you know, for, you know, I have Justin Jefferson on 10 teams. I have Adam Thielen on 12. I have, you know, Dalvin Cook on 14. But I also have, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Jones, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's taken away a little bit of the emotional response to it, but I am a diehard Packer fan. And, you know, once, you know, I will have that emotional response every so often, but, you know, I have no problem even just watching a random Texans Lions game. You know, if that were on, I would watch the hell out of it just because it's football. It's barely football considering who's on the rosters, but you know, I guess it's football and I'll watch it still.
Hey, you know, they say like bad pizza's still pizza. It's still good pizza. Like same thing for football. Bad football is still, you know, football. So like, you know,
that is true. You're exactly right.
So you brought up REM being your favorite band. What's your favorite REM song?
It's probably What's the Frequency, Kenneth? That or... like that whole Monster album is really good. Cause that came out, I want to say in 95 or 96, that was like the height of I'm starting to formulate music opinions and really getting my kind of style, you mm-hmm. know, and what, you know, that's usually around the time when you're like 11, 12, where you're, you know, start getting influence from other people. So that, and then Automatic for the People, which was the album before that. That's probably my favorite album of all time. But, you know, Man on the Moon's great on there. Drive is great. Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight. There's so many. I mean, that whole catalog from REM from like 1983 to like 2005, just absolutely, I will put that up with like almost any catalog, just because just the sheer number of quality albums, songs. I mean, it's all fantastic. That's just, I could listen to that. I could put on Spotify and just play that entire thing and just not even skip a beat and just start singing it. I'll, you know, just I usually drum. That's like my bad habit, is just drumming my fingers on the desk and doing all that. But yeah, that's, and getting in that division was like a dream come true almost for somebody whose big musical, influence, you know, was through my dad and my mom listening to REM all the time. So it was only natural that I got that. Like I got, you know, sports teams, like I got in the Yankees. My mom was a Mets fan. Thank God I didn't get that. But I got it all from my dad.
There you go. I mean, my dad was an Eagles fan growing up. So when he came to Texas, he became a Cowboys fan. I'm glad I got that and not that. Yeah. So I'll take it.
Oh, he would not survive that. Oh, my.
Oh, he lives in Pennsylvania now. So like he's back up where he grew up, and he's still, he's nice. Still a Cowboys fan. So, hey, whatever. I also want to know, what would you be writing or podcasting about if you could do that on anything other than sports? So any other topic?
Jeez, I've never really thought about that.
Honestly. Is there another topic that you kind of feel strongly about?
I mean, nope. I don't, I maybe it would be, well, I'm trying to think, like, I mean, like music would be fun though, yeah, to be able to do that. Fun. And going back into like old catalogs, like from like the 60s and 70s, and being able to, you know, use a 2021 approach to going back into these catalogs and listening to them and, you know, putting your thoughts and, you know, feelings into that. I think that would be very fun to do that as kind of a, maybe a little side project. You know, so that's that, you've got the wheels turning here about thinking about that. I think that would be probably the avenue I would go down. I think music and being able to write about that would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I feel the same exact way about that. So great minds. And also, what is something in fantasy football? What's a setting or a rule or whatever? Something that is like one of your favorite things.
I think it's got to be full PPR. I can't do half PPR. I'm not a half measure guy. I go into it all the way. I don't know if I could do the half PPR, but I like just the full PPR. That gives me the ability to, if I want to take a receiving back, like a Alvin Kamara or whatever, and get that benefit, great. You know, or if I want to load up on wide receivers, like I tend to do, great. You know, tight ends, same kind of thing, you know, those volume guys. But either that, or I did a chair, I'm doing a charity league this year. It's called the Kevin Cannot Draft a Running Back or Start One. So this was based on Eric Belair's Scott Fishbowl draft, where he did not draft one running back. And if you go check his Twitter, you can see how that ended up in the comments. But based on that, we started a league with 14 people. Where I cannot start a running back. It's a best ball. So my RB2 running back slots will be empty, and it's head to head. So I can't even pick one off of waivers, but if I beat them in a head to head matchup, they will donate, I believe it's $75 to charity.
Oh, wow.
If I win or if I lose, I donate 25. Mm-hmm. So they have the benefit of all the running backs they want, but if I beat them without it, you know, and it's great either way, because everybody wins.
Right.
So, yeah, I wanted to at least throw out that charity aspect. So that is something I feel is unique, and I don't think I've ever seen that, where somebody's willing to do that. But, you know, people are crazy. I feel bit crazy for doing that.
You haven't heard it because everybody's like, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But with the charity aspect, I mean, anything, you know, anything with the charity aspect behind it is good news in my book. So
yeah, exactly.
Good luck. I hope you win. I hope you lose. I just want money out there. So I hope there's just money that's going to charity. I just, you know, any way you can get it.
Yeah. I hope I go, you know, 15-0.
your team's going to, we'll see. And that's a great experiment to look at too, and see like, how did your team perform without anybody in that slot? So yeah, that's going to be fun. So I'll keep up with that during the season as well. Is there anything else that you want to bring up before we plug all your stuff?
Geez, I think we've pretty much run the gamut here on anything and everything. So, we'll nothing I can think of. Yeah, we'll hit part two. Absolutely. Unless there's anything else that you can think of, I'm pretty good.
No, I really enjoyed having this conversation with you. It's really cool to like pick your brain and kind of figure out how you think. So if you would plug your stuff one more time, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Casey, for just getting this time to talk, and mm-hmm. always fun to go back and forth with you. And we'll definitely have to do it again sometime, whether it's on Lightning Round or on here again, whatever the case may be. But you can find me on Twitter at KTompkinsII. Those are two lowercase I's because I am the second Kevin Tompkins. My dad was the first. You can find my work at ballblastfootball.com. We put out some tiers and rankings. You can check out the rankings there. I'm going to be doing a Target share article every Wednesday or Thursday during the season as well. So be on the lookout for that starting in week two once we get some actual NFL games being played. You can find my work at fantasypros.com as well, doing some work on there. As always, Lightning Round podcast, youtube.com/lightninground. Subscribe. We'll be doing a giveaway soon here before the season. We'll be giving away a signed jersey. So that'll be fun. I'm going to pick somebody off of the wall here to give away. And that there's some good names up there. It's AJ Brown, Ayuk, Adams, Robert Woods, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson. It's going to be a good jersey. So we'll see how that goes. But look out for that. Like I said, we do our podcast on Wednesdays, a Sunday morning kickoff show starting at 10 Central, 11 Eastern. Where we will answer your questions about start, sit, lineup, go through inactives, do all that kind of fun stuff. Other than that, and then the Fantasy Besties, like I said, on Mondays with Jordan Loop, Andrew Cooper, Linda, Jared Berry, and myself, Mondays at 7:15 Eastern. So a lot of hands and a lot of jars, but we make it work.
Love it. Well, thanks again, Kevin, for coming on. Like, super dope having you on. And everybody out there, make sure you come back next week for another episode, and stay rad.